low to mid 50s later in the week. Adam Lepp reporting for The Talking Place.
Legendary Bro.
Good afternoon. This is Pastor Craig, and you're listening to Study His Word Radio. And it's good to have you here. And you'll probably want to take advantage of this warm weather because it's turning cold tomorrow. But anyway, it's good to have you here, and I have in the studio a special guest. Her name is Catherine Woods, and she is with a place or an organization called Relationships Under Construction. And I'm sure some of you have heard of it, but I imagine probably most of you haven't. So I'm just going to say welcome, Catherine, and I'm going to turn the microphone over to you. And what I want you to do is just tell our listeners about your organization and what it is you do.
Well, thank you very much. We are Relationships Under Construction, and we are a nonprofit organization. We've been walking alongside students, families, school districts, homeschool educators, teaching skills to prepare our children for a life of success, stability, and optimal health in the present and the future. And our curricula is a whole person approach for successful life sequencing from adolescence to adulthood. We teach sexual risk avoidance programs in Ohio, across the United States, and even in foreign countries. And we teach the truth about relationships in the 21st century, despite many challenges. So that's a little bit.
All right. And there's going to be much more, I can tell. But, so let's just start at the beginning. Now, you're from Columbus. Mm-hmm. Is this a something that was started in Columbus? Is this a national program? Give us a little background.
We did start in Columbus, and I started at the Pregnancy Center in Columbus, Pregnancy Decision Health Centers. And then I opened Relationships Under Construction as a nonprofit. And I have another nonprofit called Ohio Adolescent Health Centers, and we are a collaboration of organizations like RUC in the state. And so we are funded under the federal government with the Ohio Department of Health. We also have been funded until recently in the state budget of Ohio. And it's basically because the government is really concerned about helping our kids make the right choices. Believe it or not, the government is paying for something good. So we work with a lot of churches, we work with a lot of pregnancy centers, and we're the good guys. We're the alternative to Planned Parenthood and other programs like that. So it's very important that we are in the public schools, and we feel like, you know, we love to be in the church, but we feel the public schools is our mission.
Okay, now, when did you start this?
Well, I started teaching in January of 1987, but I achieved getting Relationships Under Construction as a nonprofit in 2002. So we just celebrated our 20th birthday this last year, and you know, over that time period, we served about 25,000 kids a year in our 32 counties that we actually serve in Ohio, but that we have also trained many, well, other programs in Ohio use our curriculum, and we've trained many people across the United States. So we've been in about 30 states. Now, you know, programs come, programs go, so it's very hard to keep track. We have trained people in more than 10 countries. We can't always keep track of where we're even at, you know, so, but we have a contingency that has come regularly until COVID from Nigeria. At our training in August, we had somebody from Zambia come specifically just for the training. You know, we work in several African countries. We work in South America, Canada, Mexico, you know, so it's just all over the place. And, you know, my goal would be to build strong families worldwide. So.
Okay, so you're in the schools.
Yes.
So What does that program look like? I mean, how long are you in the school? How often are you in the school? What are you doing in the school?
Well, we actually go in with one of our programs, Relationships Under Construction, for 5 sessions. And that is 5 sessions for 6th grade, 5 for 7th, 5 for 8th, and 5 for 9th through 10. So that means that we are there for 5 days in a row with that program, and we're in every class that the teacher that invites us to come in, we're in their classes. We prefer to do it in a classroom situation because it makes it a little bit easier for kids to ask questions and, you know, get, you know, it's just a regular classroom. The teachers are required to meet certain requirements of the law. And so we help them do that from our point of view. Okay, and so our other program is Constructing Safe Relationships, and that was designed to be a dating violence curriculum first, but we also talk about several other risk behaviors, like talk about addiction. And we have a wonderful lesson for 7th grade, 8th grade, and 9th grade on, and when I say 9th grade, it's 9 through 12 because it depends on who's in that classroom. And so, and we've taught in health classes, we've taught in science classes, we've taught in math classes, we've taught in English classes, you know, it's wherever the school wants us to be. We've taught in the hallway, we've taught in the cafeteria, we've taught in, you know, so all kinds of things. But that addiction lesson is incredibly important because it not only deals with, you know, drugs and alcohol and the many other addictive substances that we have, like sugar, you know, everybody's addicted to sugar in America, and just try giving it up, or caffeine, try giving it up, you know, then you find out if you're addicted or not. But some things are much more serious than others, and so I don't want to make light of it. But we also talk about addictions to pornography. And so that is something that is affecting our entire population right now at immense proportions and causing us all to be crazy. So it's very important that we can address that. And we want young people to know that this is not appropriate. And I will tell you, from our evaluations in the schools that allow us to do that, we've seen the use of pornography go down 13%. The evaluators tell me if you can get the needle to move 3%, you're doing something. Well, this is 13%, and it's very important because they just don't understand how it's going to affect them in their relationships, what it will do to a marriage. You know, they just don't understand that. So if we can help them understand that so they cannot make those mistakes, you know, I think it's very, very important. We also talk about, we have a lesson on suicide. So basically, when the government comes up with a new thing that they want to address, like suicide, then we write a lesson for it because we want it from our point of view. Because you can tell it's from the pregnancy centers, the churches, the, you know, and so I just am really on a mission to make sure that we're there. If they call something social emotional learning, guess what? We write a lesson around it. And we meet it from our side of the view.
I got a question here.
Yes.
Did you start out with a program on pornography, or has that come out of the explosion in social media, or how did that come about?
I'm sorry. Let me cough for a second, then I'll tell you.
Go right ahead.
So that came out of sheer need from the kids in the classes when we started hearing that on the school bus, with smartphones, kids could bring up anything on the school bus, and kindergartners were watching. So when we started hearing those stories, we said, that can't be. And so that's why we do that. And I know it's prevalent throughout our country, but maybe it's the problem with our country, you know? So we have to think about that and just think about, do you feel that it's the right thing to do when you're looking at it? And obviously, your conscience can be seared, And you can go ahead and say it's the right thing, but really, look at your relationships.
Right.
Your relationships will tell you if it's the right thing or not.
Right. So how big is your organization here in Columbus?
How big is our organization in Columbus? Well, the way...
Or maybe that's not the best way to ask the question. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about, you know, you've got programs that have been used in foreign countries, around the U.S. So do you have everybody come here to be trained, or do you go out there and train the adults?
Both with relationships under construction and constructing safe relationships, yes. And once we train a group, then they present that, and hopefully they'll report back to us. And that's why we can never keep track of all of our numbers. We estimate, and we have actually proof of numbers since 2016 that total over 500,000 students. Now, you know, I'm sure there's a lot more, but we don't have the numbers on that.
So if I understand this correctly, like, so you train the people, and then they take the curricula with them.
Yes.
And they do their thing.
Yes.
So you're not overseeing all these different...
Well, we try to keep them on the right track.
Track, right.
Yes.
Okay. So if a school... So how do you get in a school? Are you invited by the administration, or does it typically a teacher that gets it started? How does that work?
It happens both ways. One of the things about the new law, and I shouldn't say it's a new law because it was passed in 1998, okay? But it's based on a federal law that was passed at that time. And that law was crafted by Senator Iztook from Oklahoma. And he was so big on getting marriage into the state. And he crafted that first law for what was then called abstinence education. In the 80s, it was under Reagan, okay? Later, it was under Bush and those presidents that actually got some funding and said, we got to do something about marriage in our country. That's where it started. But in Ohio, we copied the federal law in 1998 and added two things. We wanted to add teaching about the economic problems and also teaching about adoption. And so that has stuck to our Ohio law. So we have, the law in Ohio says specifically to stress that students should abstain from sexual activity until marriage, to teach the potential physical, psychological, and emotional side effects of participating in sexual activity outside of marriage, to teach that conceiving children out of wedlock, and this is one that people don't like, but it says teach that conceiving children out of wedlock is likely to have harmful consequences for the child, the child's parents, and society. Single moms don't like to hear that. But unfortunately, if they really look at their lives, they have problems, you know, because they're missing that man in their life that would provide support, protection, and stability. Safety, that's what he's supposed to provide. Are we a mess or are we not a mess? We're a mess, okay? But we need men to come back to being the protector and the provider for their children. And that is my mission right now more than ever. I'm just on fire that men need to step up and be what God called them to be. So,
absolutely.
I'm pretty much today on fire, you know. Doesn't take much to get me on fire, but I'm on fire. So I am just so wanting for guys to, and part of that has to do with the November issue number one, because I know if that passes, it will demasculate men more because they will not be able to protect their children from abortion or from trans surgeries. All protection will be gone from the parents. And so I'm on fire. And I'm saying to your listeners, please vote no in November. No on issue one and no on issue two. Sorry, I all of a sudden I became political, you know? I try not to be political, but I am.
It directly affects the work that you're doing.
It directly affects it, and not only does it directly affect it, if it passes, pregnancy centers and our programs will be put out of business simply because there'll be lawsuits that we can't afford to fight. So unless somebody comes along and fights it for us. And that's possible, but what a mess that is. Right. Why can't we just vote no? I'm happy with the governor that he came out and said this just goes too far. Well, it goes way, way, way too far, but he has to be, you know, he has to win all the sides, but it was very good of him and his wife to stand before the people of Ohio and say, this is not good for Ohio. And so we can talk more about that whenever you would like to.
Okay. All right.
But I can go over the other things that
because I want to make sure we cover all the bases.
Yes. Well, the other things that the law requires is stress that sexually transmitted diseases are serious possible hazards of sexual activity. And you know, people don't know that we have 26 million new cases of STDs every year in the United States. And that's just the ones that are reported.
I didn't know that.
26 million. Do you think we have a problem? You know, when I started doing this, we had 12 million. What happened to that? We're at 26 million and it just keeps growing.
Because it's more than doubled, mm-hmm. but the population hasn't.
And basically, when God says don't do something, he has a reason.
Right.
You know, he has a reason to say don't do it.
Right. We might not like that reason.
Yeah.
But he does have a
But go ahead and just do it and see what happens, you know.
You reap what you sow.
You reap what you sow, and it's a really sad, sad thing for our kids. And the next one is to advise students of the laws pertaining to the financial responsibility to parents of children born out of wedlock, and then advise students of the circumstances under which it is criminal to have sexual contact with a person under the age of 16. And that's in Ohio, and I would love to see it moved up to 18. There are states that have it anywhere from 14 to 18. You know, you can look those up. I would say it's time to move it up to 18 because our children are, to me, less mature than they were before, and we've allowed that to happen. And so, here's the thing. Planned Parenthood wants to teach consent. You know, if they agree, it's okay. Well, they would like for five-year-olds to agree. So really, do we want that? They think, you know, no problem for 16-year-olds to agree. But really, under the age of 16, it is illegal in Ohio. So why in the heck is anybody teaching about consent?
Right.
In Ohio.
And see, there are a number of politicians that would like to see the age of consent either lowered
or
done away with.
Of course.
And I mean, that's...
And why is that? Pornography.
Right.
Yeah. Just put the dots together. They match. I mean, it's like, this does not take a scientist. I am no scientist and say, you know, I can just look at the world and say, this is wrong.
Yeah.
You know? And then the last one is to emphasize adoption as an option for unintended pregnancies. So we address all of those things in our curriculum. Now, our other curriculum, Constructing Safe Relationships, is to match the laws concerning teen dating violence and suicide and addictions and things like that. And so like I said, the social-emotional thing, they're that can be used for evil, but if you look at what Ohio asked to be taught under that, it can easily be used for good. So we want to use it for good so that when a teacher says, well, I've got to address this social-emotional learning, and they don't really want to, they're worried about what program they're going to have or use, and we say, we can help you with that. You know, so, and we do it from, you know, I don't want to say a religious standpoint, but yes, we do. So
so you have these two different curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so each one, if I understand this correctly, if you're invited in to teach one, your organization.
Right.
You're there. So you're there for 5 days.
Yes.
Every day for five days in a class.
So we can do up to 10 days in their classrooms.
So if you did both curriculums.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see. Mm-hmm. Do you find that most of the places that you're going into, you are doing both of them?
Most of the time. But there are schools that say, no, we don't want to address that. We just want to address this. And so we do, you know, adjust to whatever they want. Now, once they learn how we teach, they love it. And, you know, we have to be really, really good teachers to go into the public schools. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of fun. And we try to make this terribly serious stuff easy to understand and easy to be logical about. You know, I mean, if you can, and to help kids understand that we care more about them than anything, really. We care about their health. We care about their future. And that's why they love us. They can tell the minute we get there that we care about them. And they'll even say sometimes to a teacher, why do you let that other program come in? Because we don't like them. We want this program. You know?
So you find that once you're in there, they love you.
Oh, crazy.
Are you finding it easier to get in, or are you finding it harder and harder to get in?
It depends on who's in charge and where they went to college or got their degree from. That's all there is to it. Because it is, you know, it just depends on what I want to say. I can't think of the word. What you want to operate under, you know. Who is your God?
Right. So let's back up for 1 second here, because I'm sure this will help the listeners, because it's going to help me. Let's back up for a second and just kind of again tell the one curriculum and the high points or the topics that you cover, and then the other curriculum and its high points, because I know that in we were putting a lot of information out there in the first few minutes, and I think I don't want people to be confused, because I'm not even 100% clear what all the topics are you cover in the first one and what the topics are you cover in the second one.
Let me find my list of topics here, because I have them.
Okay. All right.
I can't keep up with it myself. All right. So we talk about we teach.
And this is the curriculum that you title?
Relationships Under Construction. But also, we cover a lot in both of them.
Okay.
It's just from a different viewpoint.
Okay.
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 So, we have over 40 lessons that teach students real life examples. We use a lot of times real stories. And they love the stories. But we address character development, communication skills, goal setting, decision making, healthy versus unhealthy relationships, dating violence, constructing building blocks that provide a pathway to successful life sequencing. And that is, there's four things in that successful life sequencing, and that's obtain your education, at least a high school degree, move into a job or a career full-time after high school, pursue a partner for marriage, and then create a family in that order. You know,
yeah.
Sort of like we used to do it.
You know, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, you know, you those high points, and you said in that order, and I'm kind of like, you know, really this was kind of like the common sense for centuries.
Yes.
And centuries.
Yes.
And centuries. You know, that was
no kidding.
Kind of the common sense way that that culture operated.
And you know, there are sometimes I just say, we've been doing this for 5,000 years and it works.
Yeah.
You know, and if we want to change it right now, like we changed some things in 2015, I would suggest that you go back and check history.
Yeah.
You know, the problem is, there is a writer that is just amazing. His name is Jonathan Haidt. It's Haidt. He wrote The Coddling of the American Mind. And his observation is that many of our kids are missing 5,000 years of history. Now, I want you to think, if our kids are missing 5,000 years of history, and believe me, I know there's some great history teachers out there. So I've seen their classrooms, you know, so I don't want to say that it's all, but there are people that are not teaching the last 5,000 years of history. And if we always say history will repeat itself. If you don't learn from history, you're bound to repeat it. And that's what Jonathan Haidt says. And he is, he's just very intelligent in his review of what's going on in the country. So that 5,000 years of history is extremely important. So I've started writing more in our curriculum about this happened in history, you know, and because the kids are not aware. And they have so much information, but not the right information. So I wanted to just say our Constructing Safe Relationships program not only still addresses the risk factors of like non-marital sexual activity, but it addresses alcohol and other drug use, violence, including but not limited to bullying, dating, violence, human trafficking, suicide awareness, and all of those things. We address human trafficking. These poor kids are the most targeted are 12 and 13 year olds. So we have to say, you know, your parents have rules for a reason, to keep you safe. That's their job. Don't get out of from under parent protection. Don't get out from under the school protection. There are reasons for rules, okay? And I'm old, so, you know, I believe in obedience, you know, and because obedience is something that if you are trained to obey, then when you are ready to step out onto the sidewalk and there's a truck coming and somebody says don't, you stop.
Yeah, I'm old too, but you know what? That concept mm-hmm. of obedience doesn't have anything with being old or not. That's how we've, again, operated for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is so true, and it works. But you know what? Dads have got to be in the home.
Right.
And women have got to understand the role that they should play and the role that dads should play. And I will say, we're raising our kids right now to be princesses. Mm-hmm. But they think that means to have everything handed to them. Where in reality, a princess is someone that serves everyone else. A king is someone that serves everyone else. From daybreak to bedtime, they are serving other people. And so I encourage people, you know, when you're having a princess party for your little girl, she serves everyone else a cupcake before she gets one.
Thanks.
You know, she gives them all a gift before they give her a gift.
To this generation, that would be a novel idea.
Wouldn't it be? It is a novel idea, but it's what works.
Right.
And she has to learn to grow up to cook and to clean. I'm sorry, those are, you know, I think guys should learn that too. Because everybody has to do a little bit of every role now. And so, but to think that you're not going to do one of the roles, uh-uh. We're all going to do everything. So we just have to get a different mindset. And I think that is critical to our kids right now.
Okay, so do you personally write all the curriculum?
A lot of it, but I am very aware. You know, if anybody gives me an idea that I really like to put in the curriculum, I put their name in it.
Mm-hmm.
So you will see many, many authors. And you know, back in the day when I first started doing this, that was one of Planned Parenthood's things. They would say, well, they only have one author. You know, so I said, are you kidding me? We have tons of authors. So I started listing them all at the beginning of our curriculum and what their degrees were, you know, or if they didn't have a degree, and some of them don't have a degree, you know, what their accomplishments were, you know. And so whatever Planned Parenthood accuses us of, I'm on it, you know.
So with all the things that change in society, as fast as they change, mm-hmm. how often do you, like, update or find yourself updating curriculum?
Well, I would say, let me see, our relationships under construction was copyrighted first in 2004, and we're now in the 11th edition. So that's quite a few editions in that since 2004. Constructing safe relationships does not have as many because of the topics we address, but I'm working on an update right now. And, you know, we just, whatever comes out, I just purchased a book from someone that's on the Planned Parenthood side about why two parent families are important. Yeah. I thought that was revolutionary, you know. Yeah. So I'm always looking to see what's out there and just, you know, trying to keep up, although it is getting harder and harder because so much information is coming out so fast. I don't think that we have to invent new things. I think that we already have the information that we need. Just sometimes somebody looks at it from a different standpoint, right. Which I would highly recommend Jonathan Haidt's work. And it might be Haidt, H-A-I-D-T, I don't know. You know, however you say that. I was looking at my papers here, and I actually have a couple of comments from students in Marion County. Would you like to hear those?
Sure, absolutely.
This is a male, ninth grade. Both of these are males that we pick the top comments from each county. So male, ninth grade, Marion County. I liked how RUC taught me about ways to save sex till marriage. I think the presentation was helpful. Now, that's a male, ninth grade, okay? I think our boys are so hungry to figure out this whole relationship thing. They are somewhat clueless, you know, and girls are clueless on the other side. So there you go.
But that's a direct result. The generation that is raising them was also clueless.
Yeah, right. And the one before that. So hey, we could trace that back quite a ways. But you know, one of the things that I just did in one of our curriculum is to do a generational search. Because I want kids to see that really it hasn't been that long that we've had as many divorces as we have now. And if they look back in their genealogy, I think they're going to find people that were married a long time. You know, and so I want them to see that there was stability in their family at some point.
You know, you bring up an interesting point. I want to make a comment about that. Is you don't have to go back very far in the African American culture, this society, to find that African Americans had were their percentage was the same as whites, mm-hmm. and in some cases mm-hmm. higher, of having intact traditional families,
beautiful intact families.
And it hasn't been that many generations mm-hmm. that there have been so many. You know,
that was the 1950s,
past. Right? Exactly. I was just going to say, as recently as the 1950s, they didn't have a higher percentage of single moms than the whites did.
And that's history that we need to tell them,
right?
Because they're hungry for how do we make this work. This generation right now, I think, is going to turn the tide because they are sick to death of what they're living in, and they know there's a better way. They just don't know what it is. And so whoever's brave enough to tell them is going to, you know, they're going to follow because they want a new way.
Right.
And we know what ruined the black families.
Right.
And guess what? They are just now waking up to that. You know, I'm a white lady. I tried to tell some of them early on, and they don't want to hear it from a white lady, right. You know. But right now, they are saying, the black pastors are starting to say, this is what happened, and we need to take our community back.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting because of all the negative things that mm-hmm. can come out of social media, it's the social media where some of these people do have a platform.
Yes.
Where they can get their message
yes.
out.
Yes.
And so that, you know, you can actually have a national platform as a conservative African American, mm-hmm. or, you know, pastor or whatever.
Definitely. Well, let me read this other
sure.
comment. A male, ninth grade, another male. I liked that the RUC presentation was very informative and helped me learn about safer ways to have relationships. I think the presentation was good. It helped me make smart choices. That's two ninth grade males. Now think about where ninth grade males are.
Right.
You know? That is very intuitive for them, you know, and they know, these kids know the truth when they hear it. And I will tell you, you know, there's some schools that don't want us to come in because of their way of thinking things should go. And it's just so funny because we say, okay, and we just wait for a little while, and pretty soon they have a problem and they call us, you know. But I will say one of the ones, a big school system that we were not allowed to be in anymore right now, in April of 22, one of the classes of 60 students gave our presenter a standing ovation at the end of the week. So these kids are so hungry for the truth. If their parents would just listen to what their kids need and not worry about them judging their parents, you know, not worry about that, help them be successful. Wouldn't you want your kids to be successful? Wouldn't you want them to have a better life than you had? And that was what was the American dream for years.
Well, and you know, you'll still hear it today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want my kids to have a better life than I do. It's just, it's taken on a different meaning.
Yes,
for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So are you in Columbus Public Schools?
We are. Well, this is a secret.
Oh, okay.
We got thrown out of there in 2002.
Okay.
But we are in several of the middle schools and high schools. So
I don't mean to get you in
just
trouble.
Don't tell anybody. You know, because that's sometimes what happens, you know, is the administration is off the wall and
Somebody finds out then. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So do you find you getting any kind of, you know, undue pressure, blowback, opposition from other groups, or that really doesn't affect you?
We try to rise above the fray because we meet the law. And really, if they want to change the law, then they need to go to the legislature to change the law. And there, you know, what I love about the update of the law, which was done in, let me see if I can find the date, June 30th of 2021, there was an update to the law. And what it did was it said that all schools had to list the curricula that they're using. Now, I helped write this law, so just a little bit. I have friends that were much better at writing the law. But It says that, you know, you have to meet this law. Now, if people don't, then what they do is they have to list their curriculum on the Ohio Department of Education website. You can go there and see the report from last year. They have to do it within the first 120 days of the school year, okay? So when that came out last year, we could see who was teaching Planned Parenthood curriculum. So making a difference is a Planned Parenthood curriculum. I could list a whole bunch of them, but I can't always remember their names either, so we won't start on that. But you can go to that list, and I can tell you which ones are Planned Parenthood curriculums and which ones are not. And so some schools are in compliance. Some are not. Some are deemed to be in compliance that really, if you looked into it, are not. Okay, so it's up to parents then. It's up to parents to look at that, know the curricula, and that's where we can help you if you need help. And you just have to go to RUCinc.org to contact us through the website. RUC is Relationships Under Construction, RUCinc.org. And just contact us, and we will help you know if the school has a good curriculum or not. So that's something that really gave some teeth to the law. Those schools are not going to get necessarily in trouble unless parents rise up and say, get a curriculum that makes you compliant, because this is what we want taught. Okay? And if the school decides to use a Planned Parenthood curriculum, and I use Planned Parenthood really in the government, that's called family planning. Okay? So if they're using a family planning, or it can be called comprehensive. It's so funny, they're comprehensive about just a couple things, you know. But if they're using that, then they are supposed to tell parents, and parents are supposed to opt their kids into this program. And for our program, it's the law. So really, the only thing they can do is opt their kid out. And we hope they don't. And really, up until, well, always, we've had less than 2% of parents opt their kids. Because once they look at it, they're going, this is what we want, you know? And but I can bet you those schools are not opting kids in. And the sad thing is, a lot of the Planned Parenthood curriculums are in the schools where the kids are hurt the most. The inner cities, it's the poor areas. It's just the saddest thing you've ever seen. But parents have to rise up. So, and we try to help parents with that too. So if anybody ever wants a parent presentation, we would be happy to do that to show you the difference between the two programs.
And so how would they get a hold of you?
RUCinc.org, contact section, you know?
All right. That's easy enough. Yeah.
And anyhow, that's...
So we got about 5 minutes left here.
Okay.
So is there a certain thing you want to hit up? Okay. The mic is yours.
Okay. Well, I would like to say that voting no on both issues 1 and 2 are incredibly important. Issue 1 deals with abortion. And do we really want to kill our babies up till 9 months? When is a baby a baby? Ask yourself that. When is a baby a baby? And people don't know. And it's the saddest thing you've ever seen to think that we still have abortion in Ohio up to 20 weeks. And that baby is a baby. It doesn't look like anything else, you know? And so...
It doesn't come out a frog.
No, it does not. And so to think that you're killing your grandchildren, and like I told you with the STDs, at the STDs, the rates they are, this could be that girl's only baby because of infertility rates, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm telling you, we're killing our grandchildren by allowing that to happen. And And the other part of that is the issue 1, transgender surgeries, transgender medications, and abortions will all be done without parental consent. I think we just need, as parents, the right to say if our child can take an aspirin or not, if our child can get an abortion or not, if our child can have a trans surgery or trans drugs or not. I would like to keep that right to protect our children. And I would like fathers to rise up and say, not on my watch. And the other thing is, with issue 2, everybody thinks marijuana, well, recreational would be okay. Well, all you have to do is go and visit Colorado or California and talk to them about it, because their emergency rooms are overrun by kids that are doing these drugs. Marijuana right now, in the 60s, it was 3% THC, which is the hallucinogenic part, and 97% CBD, which is the calming part. Now it's exactly the opposite. It's 95 to 99% THC and only 3% of CBD. See, I always get my things mixed up. But anyhow, let me tell you, the kids cannot handle that much THC. No human can. And so they end up in the emergency rooms. They are crowding the emergency rooms. For some reason, they want to run hot water on their chest. They actually burn their chests because they don't put any cold water on the shower. They run all hot water, and so it burns them. The other thing that happens is a new term called scromiting. They're screaming and vomiting at the same time. So think about this. If your child survives this THC amount, and it doesn't have fentanyl in it, if they even survive, they're going to have terrible side effects, terrible things that they're going through. And so I would, you know, and I know that people that get medical marijuana, it helps them a lot, and that's okay, but realize that medical marijuana and recreational are tied together, and they are one money-making machine, and it is not a pretty sight.
Now, that goes to the root of it, money.
Mm-hmm. It's money.
Right.
Both sides, both issue one and issue two.
Yes, I was going to say that, both mm-hmm. issues. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, last, as we close here, again, where can people go to get more information?
RUCinc.org. So that's Relationships Under Construction, RUCinc.org.
And can they also get information there of how they can get involved?
Just by contacting us, we will call them. And we would love to talk to them and just see how they can get involved, because there are opportunities in every county in Ohio.
All right. Well, you said you're in 32, but someday you want to be in 88.
Well, actually, our curriculum covers 69 of the 88 counties.
Oh, okay.
Our collaborative.
Right.
So we have programs in all of those areas.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, Catherine, I want to thank you so much for coming by today. I really appreciate it and telling us about RUC. And what all your organization is doing. And again, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much for being here. And folks, get out a week from Tuesday and vote, please, because these are really important issues on the ballot. This is Pastor Craig. I'm signing out of here. I'll be back next week, and you have a good weekend.
The place for